prophetic form, a little on the heavier side, of the great and terrible day of the Lord side. And next week is going to be the hope and the excitement of what God is going to do through it. And then we're going to follow that with a series called When Left to Our Own Devices. If you recall back in Judges, there was this phrase that kept popping up. They did what they thought was right in their own eyes, and it got them in trouble. We read in Romans 1, when they replaced a truth with a lie, and God gave them over to their own devices. See, our devices, our technology can often become our vices. And we want to talk a little bit more at length on a broader scope with that and look at what the Bible says about those kind of elements. So I'm excited about the next few weeks of time, and I hope you'll bear with me again today. I promise you it will be a little bit pushy and a little bit loud. And my prayer is that you can ignore me and listen to what God is saying. If something rings true in your heart, pay attention to that. All right? You with me? All right, let me start with this. How many times in a year do you think you contemplate and dream about and process and think about prophetic stuff? Like prophecy in the Old Testament, for example. What, 2, 3, 4 times a year, you know, man, Christmas time, you think about these elements and it pops up. And, you know, maybe, you know, Isaiah 53 come Easter and he was the fulfillment of that. And we think about those prophetic moments. And, well, Michael and I just came through 5 months of the Minor Prophets. So all of you at least got a couple times a week over the last, say, 5 months. That's what, 40 times this year? Y'all are way over that, the national average of the times you think about prophecy. And yet, preachers think this is so important to talk about all, over and over again. Now, let me ask you another question. How many times a day do you think of aviation and pollination? Wink, wink. This is G. A day. There's some research done just recently, as a matter of fact, in Ohio, at one of our universities here, that did study from about 18 to 30-year-olds, a little on the younger side, but the average went all over the map. But overall, the average landed about twice an hour for guys, once an hour for ladies. An hour. And yet, how many sermons have you heard speak about aviation and pollination? I'm just asking. In a year, in a decade. I commit to you, we're going to change that. The Bible has a lot to say about these things. And we'll be careful how we do it. Next week is an aberration of aviation and pollination. And we're going to talk about it in a little more detail. That's why it's PG-13, okay? I want you to know that going in. But it's something that is really a big deal in our world. And what I need you to know is that at Church in the Falls, it's okay to be not okay. This is a place we come because, as Jesus said, the sick need a doctor, not the well. So when we come to the doctor's office and we come to the foot of the cross, to the great physician and say, Jesus, I need help, we are admitting that we are sick. However, it's not okay to stay not okay. What's really important for you to understand is when we come to the doctor and the doctor says, take 2 of these and call me in the morning, and we say, eh, it's not going to serve us well. And it's not submissive to the doctor, who in this case is the Lord of the universe. The reality is it's okay to be not okay. We are all broken, and that's the reality of our world. But it's not okay to stay not okay. When there's a path been given to us, there's a nudge that comes with that. And I want to challenge us to keep that in balance. We're all in a journey, and everybody's in a different place. Judgment is left for someone other than us. But let us judge ourselves, and let us be wise with regard to where we are. As I mentioned at the beginning of the year, I want us to be honest and be present. Show up and be present. Experience what you experience. Listen, focus, understand, and be honest. At the very least, be honest with God. Don't get wrapped into the tapes in your head. Don't get wrapped up into the traditional answers about the way it ought to should be. Just throw all that off and come and listen for God's voice and be present and be honest. If you do that, I promise you, you will grow in the way God has called you to grow. And whatever that looks like for your particular world. Ecclesiastes 1:9 tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's gone around comes around, and it cycles around and around. We even talked about how God is exhausting every excuse. There's a sense in which there's a rhythm to the world, and God is overseeing that rhythm and interrupting it very precisely in order to bring about His greater vision for the world and for us. Our preferred future, you might call it. There's something really significant about that. There's always something that is familiar, which means there's something that can be learned. We can learn from the past. We can learn from what others have gone through. And we can prepare ourselves because there's nothing really new under the sun anyways. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul addresses that a little bit differently. He says, so be careful. When you think you're standing firm, you might fall. You're tempted in the same way all other human beings are. So it's not okay, according to Paul, for us to say, well, that doesn't affect me. Be careful, he says. You're tempted in the same way every other human being is. And so if it's a temptation for one, it is very likely a temptation for you. Even if it's not today, be careful, because tomorrow is another day. And that is a reality to the cycle of the world and the way we live in it. He continues, though, there's good news. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted any more than you can take. But when you are tempted, God will give a way out. Then you'll be able to deal with it. Remember, John 10:10 says that the enemy, the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus comes to give new life, an abundant life. There's a distinctive opposite there. And he's saying to you, I have a plan for you. And it is challenging. It involves a daily cross. And it is hard work. But it is so rewarding. And it is eternal life that begins today. The thief, however, comes to kill and destroy, to break you down, to lie to you, to twist the truth, to move you in a direction that would only harm you. And he makes it look so right. But it's not what you want. Two things to think about. Everyone is tempted. You say to yourself, well, I'm not tempted by that. Yet. This is real important. It affects all of us. The subject matter next week affects all of us, regardless of what place you find yourself in your walk. And I want you to hear it from that context. The other side is, those of you who may be in the middle of struggle, statistically, it's a majority of the room. I want you to know there's always a way out. That God is faithful. That there's great hope. That there is grace upon grace upon grace. And Church in the Falls is a family anyone can belong to. And that includes you. And in that tension is where we become a family. But it involves, as I mentioned, it's okay to be not okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. Remember the story where Jesus sees the paralytic and he asks him, do you want to get well? What kind of a question is that, Jesus? It's a pretty deep question. Do you want to get well? Or would you rather sit and beg? Would you rather do what you do because it's comfortable? Would you rather stay in the place that you know the four walls and there's no risk involved? Or would you rather get well, which involves movement and change and stretch and discomfort at times? Do you want to get well? It's a very valid question. So as we open up a storyline of pain and destruction that the world has offered through the evil one, do you want to get well? If you go to the doctor, there's an implication that you want to get well. The question is that really what's in your heart? Or are you keeping up with just what is popular in your family, your tradition, your heritage, or sometimes just in the community that we live in? These are the kind of questions I want to set up as we head into next week. 2 Corinthians 2. I'm going to read 10b and 11, and then we'll go back and read the rest of it in a minute. Listen to this. When I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, this is Paul, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit. So he's saying, I'm going to forgive you and it's going to actually be powerful and it's for your benefit. That's a little strange. And he continues. So that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. Remember how the same thing keeps happening over and over again, and everybody's tempted by everything, and there's nothing new under the sun. What this is saying is, Satan does the same thing over and over and over again, and we can be aware of his tactics. And we don't want him to outsmart us, so we're going to do something intentional to do that. And it's really interesting what Paul says is that method. But I want to look just for a second at what he says here. We are familiar with his evil schemes. Literally in the Greek it says, we are not unfamiliar. The word there is agneo, which is where we get the word agnostic from. Agnostic says, I don't know. Paul says, we're not agnostic. We're not, I don't know. We know. We know what Satan is up to. We know his plans. We know his thoughts. We've seen it over and over and over again. And we don't want to be outsmarted by it. So we're going to call it what it is. We're not agnostic. We're not missing it. We don't not know. And then I love the word thought there. His schemes, as it's translated. 1 Corinthians 10:5 uses the same word. Remember when it says, we take captive every thought for Christ. What he's saying is, all those thoughts that we're trying to take captive, Satan has thoughts. And we know what there are, and they are not taken captive to the cross of Christ. And they are schemes, and they are killing, and destroying, and lying, and twisting, and we know what he's up to. He does the same thing over and over and over again. We should not be agnostics. We should be experts in the field of what Satan does. Now let's go back to what he was talking about when he said these words. In chapters 2, verses 9 and 10. I'm not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. So apparently something's going on in the Corinth church. Something's going on that's creating problem. Maybe it's a gossip. Maybe someone is living with his girlfriend and they had to stand up to him. Maybe someone is standing up and creating a problem or trying to steal from the treasury. Don't know. Something's going on and it caused more trouble to the church than it does Paul. But listen to what he says. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, though, it is time to forgive and to comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. You hear the tone of this. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. And I wrote to you as a test to see if you do what I told you to do. Apparently, when someone gets opposed in the church and there's a problem, it's very tempting for us church members not to reaffirm our love for them. Can you imagine that? Forgiveness is hard. He's saying, this is important. You need to forgive and love and encourage. If you don't, then we'll be outsmarted by Satan. That's the context. If we're a family anyone can belong to, then we're a bunch of knuckleheads. And things are going to happen that are stressful for us. And when sin enters our assembly and there's brokenness, we have to stand up against that. We don't put up with sin. We come to the doctor to be healed. But when sin happens, when there's struggles and personality differences and the pain reaches us and we have to deal with it, Paul is saying Satan will trick us if we don't know this. If we don't understand that we need to really important affirm, no, reaffirm our love. Otherwise, the people that we stand up against might be overcome with discouragement. Man, this is brilliant if you get it. Those of you who are struggling in something, whatever it is, Satan's number one lie is that it's only you and there's no way out. And when you begin to believe that lie, you start spiraling down. And what Paul is saying, Satan wins when we let him do that. When we say, no, wait a minute. God's grace forgives that. I still love you. You're still my brother. You're still my sister. We're still in this together. Let me help you up. Let me bear your burden, as the Bible says, one to another. Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. Let me take you to lunch and buy you a cup of coffee. Satan doesn't win. This is such a simple but insightful, brilliant understanding. And what I want to do is set a tone really strong as we are navigating a very touchy subject next week and going forward. We have to understand that Paul's instructions to a very broken church is not to be angry and fight with the... No, no, no. Stand up against it. That's important. But the most important thing, so that Satan doesn't out-trick us and fool us, is we reaffirm our love. We encourage one another. We stand with one another. Attaboy, attagirl. It's a really important part of what keeps Satan from winning. That's his scheme, is to make you feel alone and discouraged. We cannot allow it. We cannot be agnostic and miss this. I think there's two really strong ways. This is when I'm going to get a little loud. So if I'm offensive to you, well, it stinks to be you, I guess, because I'm going to say it. There's two big ways that I see, and there's probably three or four others, but two I want to point out today because I know they affect our body here. And you're going to be thinking, he's read my mail. I have. I've read my own mail, okay? Two big ways. They both have to do with ostriches, believe it or not. There's the head down ostrich and the head up ostrich. The head down ostrich sticks his head in the sand and pretends like there's no problem. And says, you know what? It's the parent who says, my kid hasn't seen any bad pictures. My kid doesn't have access to the internet. My kid doesn't see that on the bus. My kid doesn't get that at his school. My kid doesn't see that in the classroom. My kid doesn't see that on his iPad I bought him for Christmas. It's a head in the sand blindness that says, that's not me. That doesn't affect my world. That doesn't affect my family. I know where my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my son, my wife, my husband are. It's naive. And next week I'll show you just how radically naive it is. It's head in the ground. It's head in the sand. When your head is in the sand and you walk around and you're thinking, la, 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 I can't hear, I can't see, I can't hear, I can't hear. It's not really real. It's not really there. I don't see it. It's not really there. It's there. You're just not paying attention. Sticking your head in the sand simply makes you more vulnerable to the lie that you're hiding from. The truth is that this affects everybody. And we cannot be head down, ostrich, blind, and naive about it. And I think there's too much of that. And we think, well, I don't want to put too much on my little Johnny. Too much too soon. But you know what that translates? Too little too late. And you watch them and they go down the toilet and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I wish I would have said something and now it's too late. Now there's a problem and it is a devastating problem that will ruin potentially their world. Why didn't I speak up sooner? Head in the sand does not help. It just makes more vulnerability. See a picture of a glass bathroom. And you think, oh, I'm knocking on the bathroom. I'm safe in here. But you're safe from the wrong thing. The problem with the bathroom is that you are exposed and now people can see you. That's why you have non-window walls. That's just common sense. But some people think, oh, well, I'm safe. I'm in here. I can lock the door. That's what it looks like when you say, as I've heard some of you say to me, oh, well, that's not in my realm. That doesn't bother me. That's not an issue I'm worried about. That's not my little Johnny or my little Susie. It's not my... Statistically, you're wrong. And we'll talk about that next week. I want you to understand how big of a deal this is. Don't be naive. Because being naive translates to not just denial the river in Egypt, but denial in your life that can destroy it. Because it allows you to be blind. Blindness is a common theme in the New Testament. Remember the blind guy who sees and the Pharisees who see are blind? Blindness is not what we're about. Being honest, be present, be honest is about seeing clearly and saying, you know, it is or it isn't. I don't know, but I'm going to look and find out. And whatever it is, God can take it. God can handle it. And I'm going to go for it in truth. I think a second way that we are agnostic and we miss what Satan is trying to do is head up ostrich. This is the ostrich that looks like this. I'm not down there with all you peons. It's not my problem. Condescending tone. I'll tell you where you see this one. Facebook. Social media. I want to make a promise to all of you, as your preacher, pastor, person. If I see you saying stuff on social media that's disrespectful to the world, I'm going to call you out on it. Because it's bad, and it's awful, and it's disrespectful to the Christian name, some of the things that get posted from people that I love in this room. I told you I was going to be loud, sorry. It's a problem. And what it does is it shows an attitude. How about this one? This generation, these millennials, they're going to hell in a handbasket. Have you heard that? I think this comes from a lot of our older generation. Let me just remind you that this generation stands on your generation. And whatever skills we lack or they lack, one behind me, are because we or you fail to provide it. Therefore, you're accountable for that. Because it's very likely that you were ostrich in the sand and didn't say, well, we didn't need to worry about that. That's not real. We're just going to put it in the box and pretend it doesn't happen. And then guess what? It flares its ugly head in the next generation and destroys them. And then you have the audacity to look down and say, oh, well, it's not my problem. Talk to the hand, right? I need you to understand, we can't do church. We can't be honest. We can't take on real sin in the world if we're going to have an attitude about that. Whether it's blindness or just straight up arrogance. Pride goeth before the fall. Let me push you hard. If you're in your skin and still alive, these issues are yours to deal with. You may not can fix them all, but you have to be conscious and present and engaging and prayerful and kind and respectful. Remember, we need to reaffirm our love for one another, not push people down and say, well, that's your problem. We have to love and encourage and support and engage. If your feet are on a soapbox, get off. They're clean enough. It's time to do something different. Because that ostrich with the attitude becomes an ostrich with teeth. That's what people experience when you post, this generation is going to hell in a handbasket. Back in my day, it was. That's what that looks like to everybody who sees it. I know it's kind of funny, but I hope you hear it hard in your heart. I hope it breaks you a little bit. Because we've got to do better than that. We have got to do better than that. And the issue we're going to talk about next week is going to be really uncomfortable for anybody with these kind of attitudes. If you're living with pride and you're looking down on this generation that's going to hell in a handbasket, you're going to have a hard time next week. But you need to come ready to hear God's word. And if you're blind and in the sand thing and it doesn't affect me, it's not my problem, it's not in my family, and you're just completely blinders on, it's going to be a hard week next week. But I need you to hear how potent and important and widespread this is. The famous quote by Edmund Burke, we've heard it so many times, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. To be quiet. To be prideful. To be blind. To step away and to pretend like it's not my problem is to allow evil to take over. And look at the world we live in. It's time for the church to stand up. It's time for us to do something about these issues. Because aviation and pollination is God's idea. And the world has taken it and made it whatever they want it to be. And we are just quiet over on the side. If you find yourself in a not my family, not my kid kind of scenario with blindness, I want to ask you to wake up. Wake up. Pay attention. Look around and see what's really going on in your own backyard. And if you find yourself in a prideful place, hell in a handbasket, that's not my problem, I didn't have anything to do with it, I need you to knock it off. And stand up. And be part of the solution instead of the problem. If technology and social media is where all this destruction is coming from, don't add to it by posting negative things. There's so much good that technology brings us. We're going to talk about that too. But I need us to start with this big, overarching, prophetic, loud, the presence of God kind of loud, all right? This is what you need to hear. You know better because you're a Christian and God has taught you better. We have to do better or we are just adding to the problem. Let me ask you, church, isn't it about time that we stood up together? Isn't it about time we stand up for truth? Isn't it about the time we are present and we are honest? Isn't it about the time we love one another? When we say we're a family anyone can belong to, don't we need to be that? Don't we need to invite people in and look at them and say, you are so tore up and so am I. Welcome to the club. We got the Jesus here and he'll take care of it. Isn't it about time that we have that message to the world and not all this other garbage that keeps cycling around? Instead, we want to sit over and not talk about these subjects because they're uncomfortable and they make us feel out of place. We cannot do that anymore. We have to do something about this. So my goal is next week, I just want to present some information. And then we're going to talk about some really great resources. And men, I'm going to invite you to do something specific with me for the next 40 days. And I hope you can find it in your calendar. I'm going to try to pick two times during the week. And we'll just do it 40 days. I'm going to fill your head with so much knowledge. It'll protect your family and your grandchildren and your brother and your sister and your wife and everybody else that's around you. And you'll have knowledge and resources. When you go out, you want to do something? I got something for you. And everybody's going to get some resources about how to take care of a family. Some no kidding 1-2-3s. Here's how the internet works. Here's how security works. Here's what apps you need to watch for. Here's the thing that your kid is doing that you don't know he's doing. And here's the statistics to prove it. I hope you'll find that encouraging. I hope you'll do something about this. And all of us have a place because the truth is, if we're agnostic, we're just lying to ourselves. This affects everybody in this room. Some of the statistics I want to show you next week. You won't have to think very hard. And I bet you can name 5 or 6 people that you know in this room who are navigating these issues. We've got to be better about this. Okay, I'm not going to set the church on fire or anything. I know you feel the pressure. I hope you do. I want you to be sobered a little bit today. And I'm not ashamed of pushing because this is such a massive issue. What you need to know is this, and I'm going to end with this. There is a river of poison flowing through our society. And most people, majority of people, in and out of the church drink from it and are a slow death. And mostly it's because they just don't know. And those who know don't know how to deal with it. And we don't have another alternative because we don't talk about aviation and pollination inside the walls of the sacred place because it's not appropriate. Hogwash. It's an entire book devoted to it in the Old Testament. In graphic detail. We will talk about these things. And I want to challenge you and push you to be ready to hear next week. My hope is that it's going to spin little tornadoes from all of you in your own individual ways where God is going to spark your heart to think, you know what, I need to do something about this and I think I can do this part. And we can rise up and create an army in this little church that can engage our community on an issue that's so big. Again, how big? I'll let you wait till next week. Come ready to listen. Come ready to put your kids, if you're concerned about them hearing detailed stuff. No foul language or anything like that. But we're going to talk about real issues, okay? And then I encourage you to watch the video with your kids to start a conversation. Everybody ready? All right. Now, I just feel like I need to say this. I love all you guys so much. I am blessed to be a part of this family. And we are a good, loving family. And I've seen that and experienced that. So hear me when I tell you I love you. And we're going to do this together. but we got to do something about it. All right? Let's pray together. Father, I love you and I'm grateful, so grateful that you've given me a place to speak and you've given me words to speak, Lord. And I just pray, my prayer is that my words were not my own and that each person here will be able to hear your voice in spite of me and that they would be moved to the direction that you're calling them in with love, tenacity, with grace, with a gentle nudge and a push, and with the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Father, do these things to your glory and for our blessing as we stand together with you against the evil of this world. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.